Oh, I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and coming together to worship our God and our King this morning. Well, I don't see icicles hanging down from people's ears or anything. It's been a little chilly there. It's been a little chilly. Thank God. Winter is still here. I haven't heard anything on the news about global warming. Remember, God said there would be seasons to the end of time, everlasting and everlasting. His word is true. There will be winter, spring, summer, and fall throughout eternity, people. That's just our God. But we do want to welcome everyone here, and we just pray that God's Spirit and God's anointing would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning, and you would be encouraged and helped this day. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, we picked up in your bulletin, you can see it, $1,187.25. So thank you for being faithful in your giving to the church. Would you please just raise your hands as we pray the blessings of God over you? Father, Lord, I just thank you that these people have given sacrificially unto you. Father, because of their obedience unto you and unto your word, and Father, I pray that your anointing, your spirit, your power, your love, and the presence of God would be so evident in their lives, Lord. Father, I pray that everything they do, not because of who we are, but because of who you are, the King, would be blessed by you, Father. Father, I pray that things would last far beyond what man says it should last in our homes and upon our jobs. That, Father, the blessings of God, spiritually, physically, and Lord, by your anointing would rest upon each home, Lord. Father, give us insight into your word and bless their homes mightily beyond measure this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? We're good to have. It's good to see everyone, and it's good to know that God is here. And God is moving in the people's hearts and lives. Praise God. Also, just in your bulletin, just to let you know, Otis in the blue shirt here. will be speaking on Sunday, February the 16th. So February the 16th, he'll be speaking that morning. So pray for him. You know, pray that God would just, you know, give him the message we need to hear, you know. And I appreciate him and his family and in even wanting to be used in that area. I want you to turn to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. You are visiting with us. We are certainly glad to have you here, and we hope that you just wouldn't visit, but this would be your home. Amen. We certainly would love to have you. In Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14, and I know this is probably the third Sunday we've been reading this part, talking about the Laodicean church and how, you know, the church age has started, and we are in the last church age, the last church. And it depicts where we are as a body of believers, the whole body of believers around the world. And so in Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich, the white raiment that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke, chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. At the end of every church letter, from the letter of Ephesus, all of them, to the Laodicean church, at the end of every one of them, it always says, the last verse, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We know the Spirit of God is moving vastly upon the world this day. Somebody came in this morning, and you know it says in Zechariah, and it's even in your bulletin, it says, and Jelaine put it in there, it says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What he's saying there is that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's nothing that man can do, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And they, you know, they walked in and they said, you know, I knew I had to be here this morning. And I said, Lord, your Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that is roaming the earth and that is moving. And that takes faith for us as people to believe it. Because we pray, we intercede, we ask God to move, and the Spirit of God goes forth and gathers in by His Spirit. But it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We know two Sundays ago I preached on the coming of the Lord and how Jesus is coming for His church. And how we need to realize in Scripture how it says that He will come before the tribulation that will come upon the earth. There's many teachings that are going around, and it's because of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God and twisting of the Word of God that brings fear into God's people. And you think God wants fear in His people? No way. No way. Also, then last Sunday I preached on how we need to praise the Lord, that we need to lay things outside before coming in, and that we are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here to worship Him, to praise Him, to lift our hands, to kneel before Him if you feel that, to worship Him, to sing with our voices, to worship and to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord, it says in Psalms 146, verse 1 and 2, to praise Him and to honor Him. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. It says that we're living in the last church, which is the Laodicean church. And in verse 18, it says, the latter part of that, it says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. There is a reason why the Spirit of God said that. The Spirit of God was speaking through John, you know, because he was on the Isle of Patmos and God had sent him there and God gave him this revelation and he wrote it down. But he said to the last church age which we're living in today, that we are to anoint eye salve upon our eyes so that we may see. And you see, that eye salve helps us to see clearly what the Word of God is saying to us today. It helps us to see clearly and to stand upon the firm foundation of the Word of God, to believe that He's coming for us. As I preached 2 weeks ago, that Jesus is yet at the door, ready for the trumpet to sound, for the eastern skies to open and to come for His people. See, the church has lost its vision in aspects. believing all kinds of things that God has never intended for the church to ever believe. But He's saying, take the eye salve of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, and put it upon your eyes, because we have been blinded by false teachings, by false things that have been gone forth and has hurt our hearts and hurt our spirits and even hurt our relationship with our God. To anoint our eyes to, so that we can see and believe that He's coming for us. To anoint our eyes so that we can believe that we're to come to worship Him, to praise Him, and to honor Him. Today we're going to try to anoint our eyes and so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us about the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might say, well, isn't it the foundation of Christianity? Yes, but the church as a whole has lost its foundation. And it has gone unto other things to believe that other things can bring salvation, that other things can bring relief from sin, that other things can solve our mess. We bit into the apple, if you want to say it that way. We bit into the apple of believing that psychology and things like that can solve the woes of man. But it can't. The woes of man and the evil of the desires of the world can only be solved by the blood of Jesus. The importance of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The importance of the blood of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, if you would turn there. In Genesis chapter 3, if we lose our foundation, we will fall. So I've said, Lord, help us. Help me as a pastor. Help me as a Christian. Help me just as the son of our God to put eye salve upon my eyes that I can see clearly, Lord God. That as the Spirit of God puts the salve upon our eyes, that it brings healing to our eyes because our eyes are sick. And we need to know the truth of His Word and not to be swayed from the left or to the right, but have a clear foundation of what He says is truth. And what He says is truth no matter what happens upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, it says this, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now you might say, well, Pastor, why are you reading that? Even before the beginning of time, or even before the beginning of mankind, God revealed the importance of blood. The importance of blood. We know that Adam and Eve succumbed to the presence of the evil one to destroy them and mankind. And they disobeyed God. We know that. I mean, you know, we know that. We've gone to Sunday school. We've heard it. We've read it. You know, they disobeyed. And I know, you know, we kind of laugh about, you know, the eating and all that. But really, it brought destruction, people. And to God, it's no laughing matter. Because eating that fruit, whatever it was, the price that had to be paid was the Son of God had to die. That's a big price. But it says that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and God in His love towards them came to them. And it says that in verse 21, we'll read it again, and unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, in God's mercy, because you see, Adam and Eve, God would come in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve was clothed with the Spirit of God. They didn't have clothes like us. They were naked, if you want to say that, but yet they weren't naked. because of the Spirit of God that covered them. And God would come in, can you imagine? And walk with them. You might say, well, what happened? He would just talk with them. His creation. What he was doing was building a relationship with his creation. And his creation was building a relationship to their God. And really, that's like today. As a Christian, we're to build our relationship to God. And God takes care of his creation. And he just walked with them and talked with them and shared things with them. And he knew the evil one that was out there. He knew that. He knew what he would try to do. He comes and he, you know, talks to Eve and she succumbs to his pressures, his evil. And then Adam too. And sin enters the earth. Remember, it had never been like that before. Everything was perfect, guys. Perfect. Perfect seasons. Perfect everything. But God, in his mercy, in verse 21, when he sees that they have fallen, and he knows it. And we know the story. He comes and he wants to have fellowship with them and he can't find them. And he calls out to them. And they're nowhere basically to be found. But he comes in and he sees that they've noticed that the covering is gone and they're naked. And they make fig leaves and they sew them together and they make some kind of garment to cover themselves. That God comes in his mercy and sees it. Now, I'll make this statement to you. That he takes some animals and he sacrifices them. I know he killed them in one aspect to give them clothes. That's not the major thing. That's not the major thing. He sacrificed those animals so that the blood could be used to cover the sins of Adam and Eve, so that he still somehow could have relationship with them. But he used the skins of the animals to make clothes for them. Because you see, God could not bless them like he wanted to without the blood. Now, the blood of his son, but the blood of bulls and goats to cover that sin that was there so that he can overlook it and still bless them on the other end. It's like this is the sin of Adam and Eve. God comes in with the blood, kills the animals, offers it up as sacrifices to cover their sins. It covers it. God is on this side and man is on this side. But it covers Adam and Eve's sins. And God on this side could look over and still sees Adam and Eve and is able to bless them and protect them and use them and help them because it's covering their sins. Now, it also says, and in doing that, in doing so, he was teaching them that without the shedding of blood, which pertain to the animals that gave their lives, which were a type of Christ, is no remission of sins. If there is no covering of the blood of Jesus, that means there's no remissions of sins. Without, you know, we know the scripture, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so that's why the blood is so important. From the first act of disobedience till Jesus came and died on the cross. In Genesis chapter 4, we're not going to read it because of time's sake, but in Genesis chapter 4, it talks about Adam. It talks about Adam and Eve, but it talks about their sons. They taught, it seems like, from what we can understand, that Cain and Abel, and we know, they brought God, it was time for a sacrificial offering. And it says that Adam and Eve basically taught their kids what to do for a certain amount of time. And it says that Cain and Abel brought the best that they had. Brought the best. We know Cain brought the best of what he had. And that was fruits and vegetables and all that stuff. But Abel brought a sacrifice of a spotless lamb. Now, we have to remember this offering is a sacrificial offering which typifies what's coming for us, which typifies who Jesus is. And you might say, well, you know, I know God resisted and did not accept the offering of Cain, even though it was his best. And we look at that today, and I'm, you know, at times I kind of, well, why didn't you accept it? You see, God only accepts sacrifices upon His own conditions. On His own conditions. There had to be blood to cover the sins of Cain, to cover the sins of Abel. And so without the shedding of blood is no covering of sin. And so He resisted. And He said, Cain, it is not acceptable. Sometimes we go to God and we want to give Him what we think He needs. And honestly, sometimes God resists and says, no, you come to me the way I say come to me. You give to me what I tell you to give to me. Sometimes we get the and there's even teaching, we get the big head and thinking that we're God. I've even heard some people say, well, we're little gods. You know, God has given us. No, no, no. You're nothing. We, and I say all of us, are nothing. But God has made us something. And we have to stand in the blood of Jesus, what He has done for us. But it says that He took Abel's offering because it was his best. But it was his best according to how God said to give it. And He sacrificed the animal. And the blood was covered his sins. We have Cain that brought his vegetables and fruits and whatever else he had. But no blood was shed. No covering of sin. That means his sin is still visible. We have Abel that brought his sacrifice, killed the lamb, the blood was shed, done how God said, and it covered his sin. Who was blessed? Abel. Now we know the countenance of Cain fell. He got angry. He got mad. You know, have you ever seen people get mad at God? Don't get in their way. They're mad at God and they're mad at all of God's people. So what you do, you leave them alone and pray for them. Just leave them alone. Leave them alone. And let God handle them. And let God bring them to repentance. Because they think, so, and we've gotten mad at God too. We think, well, God, you should have done this. I believed your word. But you see, we don't understand that God knows more than us. And He has everything under control. So you see, we need the blood of Jesus. And honestly, the blood of Jesus in some churches is never mentioned. Is the bedrock of the church and it's never mentioned? Ooh, what is the rock? We see also in Exodus where it talks about when God brought out the children of Israel. What was the last thing He used to bring the final blow upon the Egyptians? And that was the death of the firstborn son in each family. But what did He use to bring protection? The blood of Jesus upon the doorpost and the lintel of each home. Whoever had it, whoever was in it was protected. It's the blood. is a foundation for each and every one of our lives. The blood of Jesus. There is a song I want to read to you. And this is, it's an old hymnal song written by William Cowper. And this is the name of the song. It says, and some of you Baptists might know this, or former Baptists. I don't know it. I mean, you know, because I was a former Catholic, so I mean, you know, we didn't know these things. But that's okay. That's okay. But you might. There is a fountain filled with blood. That's the name of the song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that foundation in his day. And there may I, thou vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing womb supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. There is a fountain filled with blood, talking about Jesus, Emmanuel. In a large religious service was being conducted in the early 1900s at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco. And it says, in reading about it, that many people came from all over to listen to what would be addressed and what would be said. The minister delivering the main address was not thoroughly orthodox. Although he was a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Christ. But in that audience, as this man started to end his message, saying remarks against the blood of Jesus, as he ended his sermon, there was a very elderly woman that just stands up. In the midst of the crowd, she stands up. And she softly begins to sing a song. As she starts to sing, a hush comes over the audience, which there was thousands of people. And she starts to sing the song that has been so familiar to her for so many years. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Before she could begin the second stanza of that song, approximately 100 people had started to sing, stand up and sing and help her sing that song. By the time she reached the third verse, nearly 1,000 Christians all over the audience were singing that blessed song of faith. The song rang out loud and clear, singing about the dear dying lamb. Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Many were deeply moved at that humble believer as she stood up for her Lord and with the light of heaven upon her face, and gave the testimony that she had found peace through the blood of His cross. Can you imagine? She said more in standing up and singing that song than that joker did trying to bring down the blood of our Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 18, thank God she stood up. Thank God she knew the song. Because you can't sing something you don't know. You can't proclaim something you don't know. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but you were redeemed," and I'm just saying this, verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'll just stop there. That you are redeemed, that means brought back to God, bought with a price, with the precious blood of our Savior. We can't lose that within our Christian lives. Because if we lose the blood, we lose the victory. If we lose the victory, we lose all hope. If we lose all hope, we might as well just die. But you see, it's because of the blood and what it did in our, what it has done in our hearts, in our lives, the blood of our Savior. From the beginning in Genesis, when Adam and Eve first messed up, God came in and showed them what to do. He would not leave them in a place where they could not be blessed by Him. He loved them so much, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That He was so concerned about their souls that He came and sacrificed the animals so that He could still bless them. And even we know now that Jesus came and died on the cross. And why did He die on the cross? Because of the blood that had to be shed to pay the price for our sins. To pay the price. It says in Scripture that our righteousness is as filthy rags unto Him. Why do we think that our righteousness, self-righteousness, is acceptable unto God? It's not. It's not. It stinks basically in His nostrils. And He's saying, "Church, I've given you my Son. Church, I've given you the blood of my Son to cover all of your sins." That when something happens in our lives, when arrogance gets on our hearts, when pride gets in our hearts, that we can go to God and ask forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus wipes it away like we've never sinned ever before. Or when we make whatever mistakes, when we say something or do something, that we have a Savior that we can go to. The blood has been shed. It paid the price of sin's penalty forever. And so the blood is there to cover and take away all those things that have been there, that we have let stay there. And it helps us to forgive. It helps us to have right relationship with our Father. That we can be redeemed and brought back at any time as we call upon the name of our Lord and Savior and the blood which is accessible to us as Christians because we've given our hearts to Him is accessible to us constantly, that we can go to Him and we can ask forgiveness and that blood is shed upon our lives. And we are reconciled back unto our God like we've never done anything before like that. That He wipes it away. He wipes it away. He wipes it away. Never to remember it anymore. The blood has done it. Not what we have done, but what He has done. We live in a sad hour, though, at times. An hour in which many, both within and without the church, see no need for old-fashioned, Bible-centered, blood-bought salvation. Saying things like, man doesn't need the blood to cover to be saved. We live in a time when many mainline denominations have moved to proclaiming a social gospel instead of a gospel proclaiming the salvation through the blood of Christ. There's only one salvation with God, and that's through the blood. Only one. Only one. Only one. Only one. One door to God. Only one. And that's the blood of our Lord and Savior. That's all. Some have even gone so far as to remove songs from dealing with the blood. The blood is the bedrock of our salvation or our faith in practice. The church, the Bible, the gospel, and our faith apart from the blood are all dead. But thank God for His blood. Thank God for His blood. There's an old song, and I know many of you are going to remember this. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is a good one. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but His blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The shed blood of Christ on the cross is the only solution for our sins, our ills, and problems of this world. You can read it in this gospel text. It's the blood of Jesus that solves the problems with the world and the church. It's the blood. 1 John 1:7, if you would turn there, please. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let me stop there. Either you believe God's word or you don't. Either you and I believe God's word or we don't. It says this in the latter part. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Old slewfoot out there will try to tell you that what you've done 2 months ago, a year ago, or 5 years ago has not been dealt with. And he'll try to bring all things up. But the Bible says, which we know is truth, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we go to God and we ask forgiveness, that He cleanses everything. Everything. And it's like you and I have never, ever done it before. Ever. I know that's hard for us to believe. I know it. It's hard for me to believe at times. I mean, it's like, okay, Lord. We know what His Word says. We thank Him for His Word. Cleanses from all sin, not just some. Everything. So when you get up off of your knees or whatever, you're a new person. You are a new person. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Not because I can be the best me I can be. Would you want to be good? Yeah. But because of the blood of Jesus, I can be the best person. Because of what Jesus did, I can conquer sin. Because of what Jesus did in giving of His blood, I can be healed. Because of what Jesus did in the blood that He shed, that I can have victory over all things. Because of Jesus and His blood, that God can heal relationships in my life and in your life. Because of Jesus and His blood, that He can help us to conquer and do all that He has called us to do. Because of the blood of Jesus and what He did as Calvary's cross, that my God can help me be the best pastor I can be. You see what I'm saying? Amen. You need help. I love you guys. I love you guys. But because of the blood of Jesus, that's the answer. That's the foundation of our, and that's the eye salve that He wants to put on our eyes, saying, that's the truth. That's the truth. The blood of my Savior. The blood of my, Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The only thing that could wash us is the blood of Jesus. That's it. We can't wash ourselves. Because we're filthy, we're filthy. Let's all say we're filthy. We're filthy. It's like taking a garment and we're trying to wash it and we're filthy, full of mud, full of trash on us. Filthy. Can't get it clean. Can't get it clean. But if we put our hand, if we put our lives in the blood of Jesus, He takes us and washes us, and from His blood we come out spotless with Him. The blood of Calvary. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. And we're going to be closing in a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let me read it again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, into where? The throne room of God. having boldness, not because of who we are, but because of the blood that is upon our lives, that we can go boldly before the throne room of heaven and enter in by the blood of Jesus. You know, there's people that try to sneak into the heavens by other ways, by their own righteousness, by doing other things, religious things, and all that stuff. But there's only one way. There's only one way. And that's through the blood of Jesus, which we look to the cross of Calvary and what He did and making it possible to go to the Father. And the Father sends down the Holy Spirit to help us and to do the things that need to be done in our hearts and to encourage us and to get the job done upon the earth for Him by the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We should never have to struggle. We start to struggle when we try to do things on our own and not led by the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, let me tell you, even though God speaks something to your heart and even my heart, and we know it's God, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But I know this. If the Spirit of God says something and we act upon what the Spirit of God says, it's the Spirit of God's job to protect me, to help me, to encourage me, and to get the job done. That means I'm not fighting against the enemy, because the enemy will always win when I fight against him. Always. When you try to fight against the enemy, he will win. He has more wisdom than you and I. He knows us like a book. He's been keeping records. So He knows the weak areas of our lives, and He knows the strong areas of our lives. But our God has made us, and He doesn't realize or know, the devil, how it is to have a God, His Holy Spirit, living in us. And so the Spirit of God is what helps us to accomplish and to do the things that He wants us to do. And getting the job done. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There was a well-known evangelist. You probably know when I say his name. Well, he's gone, but who was holding a meeting in Detroit, Michigan. His name is Dr. Charles Finney. And what he was preaching about was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that can cleanse us all from all our sins. After the service, a stranger came up to him and asked Dr. Finney to walk home with him. Now, this is a long time ago. Advised against it by the church officials who knew the man, Dr. Finney went with the man. When they got to this building, the man ushered in the preacher through the back door of this building. The stranger locked the door. We'd all panic, probably. Call upon the Lord. Took the key and put it in his pocket, and then said, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you a few questions." And he said this to him, "Do you believe what you preach tonight about the blood?" Dr. Finney looked at the man and said, "I most certainly do." The man continued, "We're in the back of a saloon, and I am the sole owner of this saloon." That was the man. "Mothers come in here, lay their babies on the counter, and beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. I turn a deaf ear to their cry. We see to it when a man leaves here, he's well under the influence of alcohol. More than one night, a man has been leaving and has been killed by the train tracks that run in front of the building. Dr. Finney, tell me, can God forgive me? Dr. Finney replied to him, I have but one authority, which is the authority above everything, which is the Word of God, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The man got to another question. He said, in another room, we run a gambling hall. I mean, this man's lost, huh? If a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, we bring him back here and with marked cards, see to it that he is fleeced out of his last dollar. We send him home penniless to a hungry family, Dr. Finney. I'm sole owner of this. Tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like that? Again, Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us all from sin. The man spoke again. That's not all, Dr. Finney. Across the street is my home, where lives my wife and my daughter. Neither one has heard a kind word from me for over 5 years. Their bodies bear marks of my brutality upon them. Dr. Finney, do you think God could forgive a man with a heart like that? Dr. Finney, head lowered, his eyes filled with tears as he says, my friend, you have painted one of the darkest pictures I have ever gazed on, but I still have one authority which says, which is the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all from sin. The man opened the door and ushered the pastor out, the preacher, Dr. Finney, into the night. Then never left that room till daybreak. Not before this man ripped all the deck of cards. He went to his saloon and took all the bottles and poured the alcohol down the drain. He walked across the street, sat in his living room. The mother told the daughter, go tell your daddy breakfast is ready. And when the little girl walked in, she said, Dad, your breakfast is ready. Knowing that a harsh word was coming. And the daddy turned and gave her a kind word. It says the daughter ran to her mother and said, something has happened. Daddy has not given me a harsh word or said anything negative to me, but a kind word came out of his mouth. So the mother starts running to the living room. And as she runs to the living room, she sees him sitting there. And he looks at her and says, y'all both come. And he had one sit on one knee, his daughter, and his wife sit on another knee. And he looked to both of them and said, I want to tell you what happened to me. I heard a man preach, Dr. Finney. I asked him many questions. And he told me that the Word of God said that he, God, would forgive me for all of the sins that I have committed against every man, against every woman, against every child in this city, the things that I have done, and most of all, against you. And he said, I'm asking you to forgive me because I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. It says in the story that this man closed every business that was not honorable to him, to God. And he even became a part of that church that he visited. All because of the blood of Jesus. Nothing else in this world, people, will help people besides what Jesus did for them. Nothing else. No amount of education, no amount of counseling, which a certain aspect is okay. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to. But none of those things will help like the blood of Jesus. Like the blood of Jesus. Let's take the eye salve and put it upon our eyes and say, Lord, I'll never forsake the blood. I'll never forsake the blood. Would you please stand? I know I went over a little bit. As you bow your heads this morning, just for a minute, and close your eyes if you don't mind. I don't know the condition at everyone's heart in this place. But if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know Him today. It says that Jesus died on the cross, not for Himself, but He did it for us, so we could be reconciled back to the Father. If you don't know Jesus and you've never accepted Him in your heart, or maybe you have at one time, but you've swayed from the truth and you need to rededicate your heart back to Him, would you please raise your hand this morning so we can pray with you? I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all pray this prayer together, because we do have someone that raised their hands, and we want to be of help to them. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask You to take Your blood and cleanse my heart. I accept You as the Lord of my life. And I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again, and You're seated next to the Father in heaven. I accept You as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you guys. I thank God for you, and I love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. There's one scripture I want to tell you. Well, where is it? I want to write Deuteronomy 28:6 says, "Blessed are you coming in, and blessed are you going out." If you see the mat at the front door, Cindy, raise your hand. Cindy brought the mat, and we're getting another one. But we want you blessed coming in and blessed going out. Amen. We appreciate you guys, and we thank God for you, and we love you, and you have a great week this week. God bless you. Bye-bye.